If you've ever found yourself spiraling down a late night rabbit hole of what am I meant to do and why haven't I found it yet? And let's be honest, who hasn't? Then you're in the right place. I'm Teresa White, career clarity expert and 5-time certified career coach, and I'm here to help you navigate the question of how to find a career that truly lights you up. On Career Clarity Unlocked, we're all about those light bulb moments. I'm talking to people who are still trying to figure out what they're meant to do, coaching them live to reach that magical, yes, this is it moment. And we'll also hear from those who've already found their dream careers and figure out exactly how they did it. Whether you're looking for inspiration or actionable advice on finding a career you love, I've got you covered. Time to unlock some career clarity.
Let's dive in.
Welcome back to Career Clarity Unlocked. Today, we're diving deep into something we all need a little more of, rediscovering who we truly are, not just what we do. And if you've ever felt like you lost touch with that inner voice, or you're quite unsure if you can trust your intuition, then this is the time to reconnect. We'll be talking today about clearing our limiting beliefs, trusting ourselves again, and exploring the true you beyond your job title. So if you're ready for a conversation that's all about clearing your path and getting back in tune with yourself, stick around. You won't want to miss this. And joining me for this exciting conversation is Lisa Woods. I am so excited to have her. She spent her career in executive management, advising leadership and designing, implementing creative organizational fundraising and communication PR strategies for political campaigns, policy pursuits, governmental agencies, nonprofit, and institutions of higher education, including for her alma mater, Colorado Women's College. Along the way, she was supported and strengthened by her spirituality and engaged in several healing, discovery, and expansion practices, culminating into the spiritual life coaching she now offers. It's the actualization of her purpose in this lifetime, and one that fills her heart with great joy and elevates her vibration in this world. Let's get started. Welcome, Lisa. I'm so excited for you to be here.
Hey, Teresa. It is so good to be here. Thank you. Thank you for the invitation, and so appreciate everybody who's watching or listening. So good to be here.
Yes, and I can't wait to dive into all the topics for today, but I would love to start with your career journey. If we start early on, what led you into executive management and advising leadership? Can you give us a short snapshot of your career story?
Yes, I can. So thanks for asking. When I left home, if you will, sounds kind of funny to say, but going to college and, oh, this is what I'm going to major in, and found out pretty quickly college at that time was just not for me. And I felt okay doing that. And so I got this job helping to manage a coffee shop, which in 1984, 85 was pretty unique. And it was across from the University of Texas. And there was a gentleman who came in pretty often, he and his wife, and they were super interesting. And after about a year, he asked me if I would help him open up a new political consulting firm. His mother had basically revolutionized, if you will, phone banking in this country. She was very well known in political spheres. So I said, sure. And so I did it. And then I started managing political campaigns, managed a campaign for a woman who I greatly admired. She won. It was wonderful. And then that took me into the place of more policy work and management and being responsive to constituents and grassroots things. So it just continued after that. I said yes a lot. I will say that.
Wow, that is so fascinating.
Yeah.
And then you've made some big changes along the way that led you eventually into spiritual life coaching. How did that transition happen for you, and what inspired the changes that you've made?
Yes. So really the changes through my career were more around what type of spaces was I in, right? Was there alignment? And were they spaces where I feel like I could do the things I wanted to do? And I mean that in a positive way, in a supportive way. Is it a supportive space? And so when I finished, a lot of my work was in Texas. When I finished that, I came back to Colorado and decided, why not try consulting? Why don't I just go into places? Because these were my strengths, right? Tell me what you need to get done, right? And I will build a plan. And then I will work with the people that you have there, because I don't want to be here forever and you don't want me here forever. But how can we elevate this organization, or how can it be around fundraising? Or so I did a lot of work at the University of Denver, specifically for the Graduate School of Professional Psychology, which was just, gosh, it was beautiful. I had a great project there of redefining mental health. And we had Wes Moore, who's now, you know, a governor, and other people come and help bring more knowledge and bring more information to people about mental health. And I'm a huge mental health advocate, like many people are. And then I did some board work, especially with my alma mater, Colorado Women's College. And about in 2018-19, I decided I really wanted to, this is the best way to say it, move aside. Right. I felt as if I had contributed, and I had contributed significantly and in ways that were fulfilling, and it was great. But there's so many other voices out there. Right. So I felt like I was giving the same advice and everybody else, and we were asking ourselves the same question. So I said, I am removing myself from this. Great. Call me if you need me. And I sat and wrote poetry for a year, which was absolutely wonderful. And just like getting into this, back into this creative space that was more art focused and free. I felt very free mm-hmm. during that. And then in 2021, actually, my spiritual teacher said, let's think about what else you want to do, Lisa. And so I looked into spiritual life coaching, and it was an immediate yes, right? That intuitive yes. And took that certification. And really, if I may extend this piece that I'm sharing, I went into a place of understanding that to be a coach, I was like, oh, you've really got to lose that ego, Lisa, right? People have always come to you and said, what do you think? Or what is this? Not that I was the ultimate decision maker, but okay, so I know. Isn't that great? And so I said, okay, so by my birthday, which is February 24th, I was like, I just need to practice and work on releasing the ego so that people can come in and have their own thoughts, ideas, space, and I'm just going to hold the space for them. So anyway, did a lot of meditating, did some things. And then I went to my mailbox one day and I pull out something that looks like a credit card. And it is a credit card. And it has my name on it with an expiration date of 2/24, which I think like, okay, that's my birthday, but that's year 2024. So I call the credit card company. Well, somebody had stolen my ID. Somebody had stolen my personal data and opened up a credit card. I don't know why they sent it to my house, but they did. So the woman was very apologetic, but for me, right, I was like, oh, this is such a gift, right? That is what I asked of the universe, asked of God, you know, how do I move further into this space with less of, I know the answers. So again, a total gift. And it has just, the learning and the beauty of being a spiritual life coach has just grown since then. So thank you for asking.
I'm just so fascinated. Everyone else would be, it could like, I would imagine if someone would steal my identity, I would freak out and would be in a very bad place. How did you take that as something positive?
Because it's what I had asked for, and I trusted, right? I trusted that if it were right for me, that it would indeed happen. And I think some of that is being grounded in your spirituality and trusting yourself. And this isn't if I may share this isn't this transactional, I asked for this, the universe gives me this. It's not that at all, because there have been things that I very much wanted to do and would pursue, like starting a blog. And I don't need to go into the whole story of that, but pretty quickly it disappeared, and it disappeared by my own actions, but I didn't realize what I was doing. And so I said, okay, I get it. That's not what I am to be doing right now. I'll come back to that. help show me the way, help show me what is next. And that is what happened. Within a day or two, I was seeing some other things that have also taken me down yet another path, part of the spiritual path, but down a path to actually be of service to more people, a wider audience, if you will. And so, again, so much gratitude. Yeah.
I'm so fascinated by you trusting your intuition. Mm. I think there's so many people, and me included, who we can, or people, they're not happy where they are. There's something that isn't right in their life. Like maybe it's their career, and then they see other opportunities, and then our head jumps in and says like, oh, you're not going to get that position anyway, or you're not good enough, or don't even try, or whatever it is that we tell ourselves. And when I talk with you, you said, okay, I had a very successful career, but my intuition said it is time to make space for others. And then you learned about spiritual life coaching, and your intuition was like, this is it. And you didn't let any voices in your head get in your way. You actually listened to the intuition. Yeah. What advice do you have for others who feel they're not able to listen to their intuition, or they can't trust it? They feel like, oh, we need to jump back to my head of like finding all these reasons why there's a no, instead of like, oh, my gut says this is for me, and trusting that.
Yeah. And such a good question. And I will reveal that I am 58 years old. And I think age has something to do with that, as well as intentionality of understanding some things that are before you that are part of your learning. And I'm going to say learning in this lifetime, because I believe we have many lifetimes. Maybe that's a little woo-woo for people, but for me, it really resonates and it makes sense. And I can still believe in God, and I can still do a lot of things and hold those beliefs, if you will. So the intuition piece is knowing in some sense where you are, and or what are you still learning? What keeps coming up for you, right? As we tap into our intuition, or, you know, I spent a lot of time meditating. I spent a lot of time coming back into who I am, not just what I did. And so if you are able to balance that, right, we need a job, we need to make money, we need to support it, whatever those reasons are, plus for many of us, right, having a job and having a career is super exhilarating, it's super cool. So if you connect to your intuition, which I say is like the voice of your soul, and you have a little more quietude through, I think that's why many people pray. It's why people meditate. It's why people take long walks in nature, right? Let's bring everything down, because the world feels very overstimulated, overdone, right? And for somebody like me, I have pretty high sensitivity to things. I have to be able to come back into me and push out that noise so that I can hear that my soul, my heart, my intuition, because it whispers. The ego tends to be, right in the head, tends to be a lot louder, right? And we need our ego, we need our head, we need logic. But if that's all we rely on, I think there's so much more that is there. I mean, you and I were talking for just a minute about how, you know, the cells in your brain are the same in your gut, right? And there's this vagus nerve, this very central nerve that runs from the brain to the gut. And again, I love that we're in this time where we are discovering all of these things, but how do we stay more connected to that? Not the vagus nerve necessarily, but that inner knowing and trusting it. And I will say, this is not like a light switch. All of a sudden you meditate for a week and you're like, woo, I got this. I mean, you do, hallelujah to you. For most of us, we need to practice, right? And I find when we ask the universe, ask God, ask creator, ask spirit or source, right? Help me practice this. You start receiving things, right, to practice on. And many times when I'm coaching people, they were like, yeah, so I came up, you know, I've been working on my boundaries and great, I have boundaries at work, but now I'm really seeing that I need more boundaries within my family. I'm like, oh, yes. Many times, right, we start with the easier things. And as we, maybe the word is master, but become good at managing those things and understanding and connecting to ourselves, the closer it gets to us and things that maybe seem a little more challenging, but we're ready for it. And that trust.
You just said we're ready for it and that trust. And I'd love for you to expand on that. And we talked about this previously of trusting ourselves, because we might, maybe we listen to our gut and it says like, this is an opportunity that speaks to me. But then we get again in our head and we're like, oh, but I can't do this.
Yes.
How can we rely or trust ourselves that we are ready for the opportunities that we see?
Yes. Yes. Such, absolutely. And again, this is where practice comes in. And I would also say curiosity is a very, I feel like many of us, and I think it is reinforced societally, right? This, we're not very compassionate with ourselves. How did I do that? Why did I do that? Why did I listen to that? What was I thinking? And people also say some other unkind things more unkind things to themselves.
Yeah.
And I understand that, but you're talking about yourself, right? So adopting a practice of compassion, right? Okay, I was practicing. I didn't get it 100% right, but I practiced and I trusted myself. Oh, so what did I learn? Mm-hmm. Right? And bringing curiosity into when your head is saying, oh my gosh, don't you dare. Nobody's going to trust you. Nobody's going to believe you. Nobody's going to think you're doing a good job. You can't get that job. I mean, right, we hear so much of this talk. I actually asked my brain, my head, my ego, right? Let's pause a second, ego. Right? I would like the space to think about this from a curiosity standpoint. I wonder why this is happening. Why do I feel this way? Is it true? Is there somebody in my tribe or in my outside resources that I could call and say, can you give me perspective on this? Right? Yes, there is the inner peace, and always know that you've got some people who don't tell you what to do, but will listen, right? And that is a big one. And that is a huge part of coaching, right? Let's create a space where I will listen to you, will not judge you, will not tell you what to do. And I think we need outside resources like that if we're not quite sure yet internally.
It really helps to have that space. And
yes,
it's not valued enough of just having that reflective space.
No. And usually our habit, if I may add this, Teresa, because this was also one of my habits, I'm hearing that voice, so I'm going to do more. I'm going to do and I'm going to do. Or I'm going to go do something really in the material where, like, I'm going to go buy something. I'm going to go to the mall. I'm going to write this. Like, I'm staying busy and I'm staying busy. And for me, that's how you keep your nervous system activated.
Yeah.
So give yourself and your body and your nervous system a little bit of a break. And it's okay.
Oh, I just had that exact situation yesterday. And I think you talked about it before. I love IFS, internal family systems therapy. Mm. And so yesterday I was feeling a lot of anxiety and I didn't even know where it came from. It was just in my stomach and it was like making me, like this really strong feeling. And it wasn't until the kids were in bed and I had time. I was like, okay, I need to figure out what this anxiety is about. And what I learned with IFS is that it doesn't help to push it away, because that's what I did my whole life. I was just like, oh, don't need to push it away, but to actually check in with it, like, what is it telling me? And it was so interesting. So I have a big masterclass coming next week, which I'm super excited about. I spent a lot of time preparing for it. And it's called Start Your Career Change in 3 Simple Steps. And it's really for people, helping them get the steps in place to find a career they love. So I've been spending a lot of time preparing and thinking about and the value I want to share. And then I listened to this anxiety. It was pretty much telling me that it's so scared no one's going to be showing up for this masterclass. And that's why I now need to work 24/7 and I cannot pause and I cannot take a break. I just need to work 24/7 to ensure that this big fear of no one showing up is not going to happen. And in the past, I would have just done that. I wouldn't even have listened. I would have just worked around the clock as hard as I can, burning myself out. Mm. But this was the first time I was like, I understand the message and I appreciate the message. But maybe there's different ways of approaching this instead of working around the clock.
Yes, yes. I love that. And I love that as a real life example. You know, sometimes in coaching, it is, you know, people say, I want to get rid of my anxiety, or I want to get rid of my fear, or I want to get rid of, and it's like, okay, those parts of you going to like internal family system, these parts of you that are not who you are, but they are there and they are telling you something. Mm-hmm. So when that comes up, right, approaching it with curiosity and talking to it, right? What are you trying to show me? And sometimes, you know, anxiety or concern, if it's not listening to the words, but there's something, it's saying, okay, is there anything I haven't done to prepare? No? Okay, I feel really good about preparing. I'm prepared, right? Anxiety, worry, whatever you call that part. Hey, I got you. Thanks for always looking out for me, but I'm good right now, right? Yeah. I'll call you when I need you. Thank you, right? Instead of it being this combative, like, I'm going to shut you down. Okay, good luck. It just doesn't.
That's like, what my anxiety says. I want to shut you down. Yeah, good luck with that.
Right.
I'll be coming back tonight.
Right. And sometimes people are like, how do you like talk to those parts of you? And I said, they are you. There is such a piece of you. So this, and I think also that is like the spiritual life coaching, et cetera, come into all the parts of you and also who you are, not just what you do, but who you are, your values, your beliefs, your joy, your love, your peace, your, anyway, I could go on, but I think the point is come across. Yeah.
And I really enjoy how curiosity ties in with our gut feeling and with our intuition. It's something that I talk to my clients so much about when we talk about career clarity and finding a career that really aligns with who you are. A big piece of that is following your curiosity. And that's what I spend a lot of time talking about it. If you're curious about something, there's a reason for it. And maybe you're just super curious about mental health and it is a field that you'd love to learn more about. It doesn't necessarily mean like, okay, now you need to become a psychotherapist. No, but follow that curiosity. It's, as you said, it is there for a reason and you can trust yourself that it is there for a reason. And maybe then it leads you to work for a company that provides a mental health product. So it's not like, let's say you're a software engineer. You don't need to go back to school to become a psychotherapist. But there can be an intersection of what if the work that you do is so aligned with something you're deeply curious about, and then you can pivot and align that. And that's where the beautiful, really beautiful outcomes happen that I see with clients who are like, I had no idea that this was even possible.
Oh, I love that. Just like gave me all the cosmic tingles. I love that. Right. It's so, how beautiful that you guide people in that way. You know, I'm also reminded of the author and spiritualist, I'll call her that, Clarissa Pinkola Estes, right? And I have this quote, I taped it up so I'd remember to say it. And she said, intuition is the direct messenger of the soul. And I am a strong believer in your soul knows, right? It's there. Tap into it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how do you help people? Because I think another part that might hold us back from listening to our intuition is that we often, our identity is so wrapped up into what we do. So
yes,
if you are an director of communications, this is who you are. You are a director of communications. And then I think it really blocks that intuition and curiosity if you think like, okay, what else is out there? Where is another interest? And then I feel like there's this conflict going on of like our head saying like, no, you can't explore this. You can't go there because you are a director of communications or whatever your job title is.
Yes.
What can you do when you feel like this is, how can you separate yourself or make space between yourself and your professional identity?
Yeah. Oh, I love that. I love that. And it's so true, right? I was a chief of staff. I'm a chief of staff, right? Like who, whatever that title is, there's a piece I would like to share in here because it becomes our identity. And I think that it's strongly reinforced. And I don't think it's negative. It's not negative to have an identity. It's not negative to enjoy your job or like the title. But I think as we move through time, right, we start to discover, like you're saying, people get maybe a little, like they cannot release that identity associated with that a title, what they do. Mm-hmm. And so I think a lot about, this is also very spiritual to me, right, this piece of, Shakti Gawain, and I'm going to share a little bit about her. She really helped many, many, many decades ago with creative visualization, right? What do you want in your future? What does it look like? Imagine being there, right? And this whole great thing of, in some sense, manifesting. But the other thing that she taught that really stood out for me was this concept of being, doing, and having. Right? And she said it's a triangle, right? We have being, doing, and having. Okay, and I read it. I'm like, okay, cool. We have being, doing, and having. But she said most of us live in a certain order, right? First, we want to have more things. Mm-hmm. Right. And externally, that is reinforced every day on every platform we're on and every message. It just is. It's what we have moved into.
Yes.
So, okay, I want to have more things. Right. So, and then so I can do more of what I want to do. And then I can be happier. So, you heard the having, doing, being.
Yeah.
And for her, she said, actually, you need to be who you are first, right? So that then you can do what you need to do. Okay, maybe you work. Maybe you create art. Maybe you're communications director. Whatever it is. Maybe you bring, you know, elevate people's voices. Great. She said, in order to have what you want. All right, so it's a very different way. Like, who are you? And that's what I talk to a lot of people about. In some sense, you're asking them similar questions, Teresa, for me.
Yeah.
What is inside of you that's sparking? Who is that? Right? It's like when I coach people and they say, well, I need to do this. It's going to be hard. No, 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 no. Great. Have you done that before? Yes. Great. Then who do you want to be in that moment? Mm-hmm. How is that aligned with your values? How is that right? Coming back to yourself.
Yeah.
So to your question, somebody who is a communications director and you're saying, well, I looked at your sparkotype and there's something in there, right? How would you like to give yourself permission to be who you want to be, right? And that I find so many times we have these voices of earlier life and somebody saying, well, you could never do that, or that's kind of silly, or just get a job and that'll be your only job. And I understand why we become attached to our titles. That's what most people ask us about. Oh, what do you do for a living? Oh, I'm a communications director.
Right.
Right. Versus, hey, tell me about your life. Oh my gosh, do you ever go up to the mountains and like look out when there's snow? Right, this lived experience of, right, connecting to your spiritual life values and it emanating in these other ways. So Hopefully that's helpful.
Oh, yes. And it just, you tied that so perfectly into some of my coaching and using the Sparkotype assessment.
Yeah.
So since you just brought that up, I want to dive into that a little bit more. And if any of our listeners are not familiar with the Sparkotype assessment, you can take that on sparkotype.com. And it's an assessment that originated from decades-long experience of award-winning author, teacher, founder, business advisor, Jonathan Fields. It's research-backed, and it's a very different assessment to any other that exists. And Lisa, I had you take the Sparkotype assessment as well. And as the results, we get your primary Sparkotype, our shadow Sparkotype, and our anti-Sparkotype. And it doesn't necessarily tell us what we're good at or what we're bad at, but it tells us what energizes us and what drains us. And we all have things that energize and drain us. We're humans, right? And for you, the primary Sparkotype came up as the advisors. Advisors are all about guiding to grow, and the working of coaching, mentoring, and advising fills you up like nothing else. The satisfaction you feel comes from walking beside others and being with and guiding them along the way as they move toward their desired outcomes. Did that resonate with you?
Oh, 1,000%. Absolutely. It was so, and let me just put in a plug for Sparkotypes. Well, let me back up. First, I really, really celebrate that you ask people and build on this when people are looking for, you know, what is it, how it is they want to spend their time. Yeah. Because it is so, it's almost like StrengthsFinder, but like so much more in depth is what I found it.
The way I look at it with the, the StrengthsFinder is a really popular assessment. StrengthsFinder tells you what you're good and what you're bad at.
Yeah.
The Sparkotype tells you what energizes you, what drains you.
Ooh,
and I think both assessments are incredibly valuable. But what I found a lot with the StrengthsFinder, not a lot, but occasionally with the StrengthsFinder, is that we're good at things that actually drain us.
Yes.
And that is that is something to be aware of. It's not telling you, right, you never should do that again. Like if we say public speaking, you're really good at it, but it drains you.
Yeah.
I'm not telling you should never do it, but how much of that do you want to do?
Yes.
And can you give yourself grace knowing that this is something, a heavier lift for you? And can you plan in time afterwards to recover, take a walk through the woods or whatever it is for you personally? So it gives you really insight into... yeah, what energizes you, what drains you?
Yes, and I love that. What energizes you, what drains you, right? It's a part of my coaching in a different sort of a way, but believing that we're all spiritual beings, right? And our energy, when we are operating at our highest level, right? Like what you said, like it's energizing. You go with it. You're in flow. And that, to me, is what spiritual life coaching is. Was I good at other things? You bet. How fortunate am I? Yes, and I worked really hard at it. So, but draining, absolutely. For the most part, very draining.
Yeah.
So from a spiritual perspective, I really celebrate that you have people come into that space of like, what energizes you? What raises your vibration, right? And what is the draining of it? So the advisor piece I love because it's like, how can I hold sacred space so that people can discover who they are? And who they want to be. So, yes, here's to the advisor.
Yeah. And I love, you already touched on that before, but the way I often use it is if we can align our identity more with what sparks us. So instead of saying like, I'm a chief of staff, so I'll use this example of your career, instead of saying my identity is tied in with I am a chief of staff, can we adjust and say like, okay, I love coaching, mentoring, and advising. As in my role as a chief of staff, I did a lot of coaching, mentoring, advising. There was a lot of leadership advising. So this is a part of me, that advising and mentoring, coaching. In what other ways can I advise, coach, and mentor? So it's in that sense, like you're not doing something completely different that you didn't do in your entire life. You've always done. It probably comes so natural to you that you cannot not do it. And that's why people always disregard it of like, oh, it's nothing. It's just what I do. But leaning into like, okay, You spend your whole life advising, coaching, mentoring. Can you take this part of you into a different space? And it's just, it's beautiful when I see people be like, yes, I'm not a chief of staff and I have to be this for the rest of my life. Right. I'm an advisor and I can do this in different environments.
Yes. I mean, you just, thank you. You just described myself, right? How do I move into coaching? How do I do those things? Yeah. And what a reframe that you were providing to people. And it's a reframe of possibility, yes. Right? It's not a deficit. It's so much a possibility. Right. Like, let's dream here. Let's create. Yes. Let's be curious. But it's grounded in who they are.
Right, exactly. Right. It's beautiful how we are actually coming from such different backgrounds, but the way our coaching is like, and I see that with a lot of coaches actually, in the end, it is always coming back to who you are and what does align with you, right? And
yes.
What aligns with person A does not work for person B at all, and that's okay. But finding, putting ourselves in that space that aligns with who we are and also yes. values us. And that is actually another thing I see with clients is, so I'll take your example again, if their primary spark type is the advisor and they love this coaching, mentoring, guiding, and they're in an environment where that is not valued. Yes. They might do it, becomes natural to them, but they're not valued for it. No one ever appreciates that.
Right.
They've developed so many people around them and helped so many people and are the one who swoops up the new hires and takes them under their wings and help them get started. But they're just criticized for it. Like, oh, why are you wasting time? Like, you should be doing A, B, and C. Or it's just, there's never an appreciation for it. And yes. I feel that can really affect a person on lose touch with themselves, because then you start believing that something that I love doing that comes naturally is actually not good. I think then it's so important to become aware of that. And then, okay, what if I can change and move into an environment where that is celebrated or appreciated or respected or valued, and how powerful that is?
Yeah, I completely agree. And it's also that I think for many of us, when we, in this both gets into coaching, it's what you're doing, like, how do you create this space for people to share that is safe?
Yes.
Where they will not be judged, yes. where they can have their own ideas, and we can celebrate that and explore yes. them. And so I think about, yes, being in this other space, and especially if you have someone has high sensitivity, which I do, right? Mm-hmm. So that higher sensitivity, but this is true, I think, for everybody, you start to not trust yourself and you start not to trust other people. You start to close off.
Yes.
Right? You make yourself, many people make themselves smaller. Mm-hmm. And it is this piece of, for me, like, do not deny who you came here to be. Right?
That's a beautiful way of saying
it. Yes. You're denying the world, your talents, your gifts, your strengths, your being.
Yeah.
Because we all bring something different. Yes, there's some similarities. Yes, but my configuration, your configuration, we can be similar, but it's not the same.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
It's true. The further we are from doing work and being in an environment that aligns with us, the more smaller we become. And the more it eats away at our confidence, and the harder it is to really get it back to finding ourselves. It's not impossible, but you do have to actively take steps to actually find yourself again.
Yeah. And if I may add one piece to that, it feels spiritual, right? That's why we're here in some ways, to enjoy life, to have joy, to experience things. But also for many of us, it is to become ourselves, our truest selves, our most whole selves. And some of that is using your voice, having a voice and trusting it and saying those things. Yeah.
If I'm thinking back to my last role in corporate, I was there for almost 8 years. very unhappy for 8 years. Yeah. And there was always this whisper that I felt like I had inside of me, like, this is not it. Like, you should be doing something more, something bigger, something different. Like, this is, you want to, should be doing more meaningful, fulfilling work. And it just kept nagging at me. And for the majority of the time, I was like, shut up. I don't need you. I'm successful. I'm getting promoted again. There's another big project I'm working on. So what is the first step that you can recommend people take when they hear that whisper and they are doing what I did for so long? Oh, let's just ignore it because it wants me to make a change, and change is scary. And so let's be quiet.
Right. Well, I would love to hear more about what you did.
Yeah. I think for me, it was actually external circumstances that made me pause. Mm. And now that you asked this question, so insightful, I could have created that space for myself. But what happened is I was pregnant and then was out of maternity leave. And as I was out and not stuck in this day-to-day grind, I was like, oh my God, my whole body is screaming at me to not go back there. But I didn't, as I was in it, I was busy, I was doing stuff, I just ignored that. But it was that space. So I wonder actually if giving yourself space is the way to do it. And that can look in many different ways, right? Like going away for a weekend. And
yes.
But being not in a space, I think for me, what have been really helpful is to not be busy. As long as I'm busy, I can tune out everything that's going on inside of me.
Yes.
And, it's so hard to slow down and give yourself space. But yes. Spending time with yourself, I think, would have been probably what I would have needed earlier to be aware of that voice that I didn't want it to hear back then, though.
Yeah, which I really understand because... I'd be curious if this is what happened with you. Many times when we hear that voice, we do tell ourselves similar things to what you did, but also like, how am I going to make that work? Right? What am I going to do?
Exactly.
Like, that's not realistic. Yeah. I can't do that.
I was like, I'm a recruiter. Like, there's nothing else I can do. I've done this my whole life. I got to be a recruiter. Yeah. So.
Yes. And I would say that too is where it's like, you said it. I slowed down. Right. And I think about what a gift the universe gave you.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. What is this space? And I think I mentioned this earlier, like when we feel anxious, we wonder, I'm just going to keep doing more. I'm going to go shopping. I'm going to do this. I'm going to work harder. I'm going to do this. Right. Your body's on overdrive. Your nervous system is on overdrive and you're disconnected from it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's why I really encourage that. Like, I think nature is the most awesome healer, right? And just that, like, it slows us down. I walk barefoot on the grass, like, each time when I coach someone, right? I get up and I go out to the garden. And maybe you live in an apartment and you don't have a garden, but do you have some plants, right? Mm-hmm. Can you just look at the sunshine? Can you walk around? Can you start to release some of that energy? Otherwise, it just builds and builds and builds, right? And we have the habits. And so there is this mindfulness piece of, man, I feel my nervous system going. So I'm just going to take 3 deep breaths. That realigns your brain and you're like, I'm okay, right? Your brain says, oh, she's okay. She's all right. Call it off, guys. It's all right. You can like, tune it down a little bit. But it does. And then that, again, you're creating space. That space, then the curiosity comes in. Okay, what would this be possible? Could I look at, right? I'm so overdone in this space. I'm overstressed, overworked, over whatever. And I have great relatability to that. What would a change look like?
Yeah.
What do I need? And if I find sometimes people go, well, I'd like to talk to a career coach, but I don't know where one is. Or I'd like to do this, but I don't know this. And I'd like to, I'm like, okay, can we time out for just one moment? And I'm curious about if you didn't stop every idea that you had, what might happen?
Yes. Oh, if you didn't stop every idea you had, what would have happened?
Right? It's like your intuition or your soul or whatever you want to call that. That inner voice is saying, hey, career coach would be great, or a friend or a therapist or whatever that is. There's a resource for you. Yeah, I can't do that. Okay, let's talk about that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, 100%. And also, I feel like it can be really valuable to talk to someone who is not so wrapped up in your day-to-day life. Like, I love my husband, but back 10 years ago, he was like, well, we need the income. Like, I don't know if you should just quit. Like, sometimes I got home from work crying and I was like, I'm just going to quit tomorrow. And
he's
maybe not quit tomorrow because you kind of need that income. Like, maybe just give it another day. You can stick it out. So having someone who's more neutral and doesn't touch you so that you can say like, hey, I don't like, and I don't know, I don't even know what else I want to do. And a lot of people then feel like they're going to be judged because they're like, well, you're like, I don't know, let's say 40 years old and you don't know what to do. Like, what's wrong with you? But no, the reality is we all don't really know. And seeking out help and guidance is such a show of strength, and finding someone who gives you space and doesn't judge you and sees you for who you are.
Yes, agreed. And it's a curious thing about humans, right? Many of us project our own issues onto people, our own insecurities, our own whatever those things are. And I don't think it's meant in a malicious way, right? We are just self-validating. We're self-validating. So to have a friend, to have a confidant, to have a coach, if you will, whoever that person is who says, how does that make you feel? What is that like for you? What else do you need to consider? What would be good for you? What are your options? How can I be helpful? Instead of, you can't quit, right? Like, human, you can't quit. Like, what are your friends going to say? Yeah. And I'm like, I don't know. My friends aren't here to live my life. I'm here to live my life. Mm-hmm. And maybe that sounds a little sassy, but that really, for me, also gets into boundaries. I would also like to mention boundaries are a big, big piece of a lot of the work that I do with people, the work that I've done with myself, and maybe you have done this as well, but creating space between you and other people and expressing to other people what is okay, what isn't okay. And when you're not asking for advice, saying, I hear what you're saying, but I'm not asking for advice. I'd really appreciate if you would listen. That's all I need right now. I know you love giving advice and you're great at giving advice, but please listen.
Oh, this was such a work in progress for me.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Yes.
I totally relate.
But it's an important one. I'm slowly learning.
Yes.
Yes, and I love that you're helping others with that because it's so scary, right? Our voices are like, if I set a boundary, are they going to all hate me? Will I be alone?
Right.
Whatever that you're thinking.
Right.
And that you're here to live your life. I love that, how you said that.
Yeah. It's yours.
I could talk to you forever.
Lisa. Oh my gosh. Yes. I'm with you completely.
As we're coming to an end, I just pulled back up a quote that I love so much by Howard Thurman. And it goes, don't ask what the world needs. Ask what makes you come alive and go do it. Because what the world needs is people who have come alive.
It's on the back of one of my business cards. It is one of my all-time favorite quotes.
Oh my God, it's my favorite quote too.
Yes. Oh.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh,
yes. Thank you for sharing that.
Beautiful, beautiful place to wrap this conversation up. And if listeners want to connect with you and learn more about your work, Lisa, where can they find you?
Sure. Thank you for asking. And also, I want to stop for a moment and just celebrate the Howard Thurman quote. Thank you. It's a beautiful one.
It's a beautiful one.
Yeah. So I have a website, Out of the Woods Strategies. That's probably the easiest way. And I think my email's on there, and I'm all for having a call. You can ask me a question. I can hear more about what you want to achieve, who you want to be, if you're at that place, or if you're just not quite sure. Yeah. So, and I love having those conversations.
Lisa is such an incredible resource. And I encourage anyone listening to visit her website, outofthewoodstrategies.com. You can also connect with Lisa on LinkedIn. And she's the person you need in your life.
Oh, well, thank you. I would say you're the person a lot of people need in their lives too. Oh, I love your approach to helping people move into spaces where they can do more of what they are here to do and what makes them come alive.
Makes them come alive. That's the theme for the day.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Imagine the vibration and how that would change the vibration of the world if we all did more, followed Howard Thurman's advice.
Can you imagine how different the world would be?
Oh, that's what I'm hoping for. Yes. Yes. So thank you for bringing him that wisdom and that spiritual wisdom into this conversation. It was beautiful.
Yeah, that was such a good place to end this amazing conversation.
Yes.
So thank you so much, Lisa, for being here today. And I hope this conversation got you thinking about how you can clear some of those voices in your head and reconnect with your intuition or what your gut is telling you or what makes you come alive. And I also mentioned earlier that I am putting together a really powerful masterclass. And if you are curious about what's next for you professionally, or you're thinking, is a career change right for me, or is there something else I should consider, then I highly recommend you joining my masterclass. And you can sign up on careerbloomcoaching.com/masterclass. There are still open spaces. It's happening next week. If you can't make it live, I will send out a limited time replay. So I would love for you to join me in the masterclass and get the tools and strategies that you need to find a career that aligns with who you are, and then also practical steps of how to make this happen. Make sure that you follow me on LinkedIn at Teresa A. White so you don't miss next week's LinkedIn Live. And also make sure you subscribe to my podcast, Career Clarity Unlocked, on Spotify and Apple Music so you don't miss any future episodes. Thank you again for tuning in today, and we will see you next time.